give God some praises this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good afternoon to some of you. We just praise God this morning that he woke us up. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Today is the day that the Lord has made, so you and I can rejoice no matter what. Just say good morning, Father. We thank you for being with us this morning, and we thank you for waking us up. So I want to just say to Kenya, Nigeria, all of our partners, we are grateful that you came. You're praising the Lord with us this morning. I'm just grateful on this faithful Friday that we've made it through the week, 5 days, and just still here in his presence today. It doesn't matter what day of the month it is. It doesn't matter what time it is. Just know that it is God's timing, and he is with us to do what what he has created this world to do. So as we go on today, I want you to just let everything go. Just stand on your square, be at peace, and know that God is with us. Wherever you're at in this world, if you love the Lord and you are asking him and you have received him as being God of God, Lord of lords, the head of everything, know that our Father who art in heaven is right here with us. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Can you bring us in prayer, please?
First of all, I just honor to Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life. I give honor to Apostle Temple Spencer and Thursday is the Teacher Spencer. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for another brand new day, God. This in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, that you breathed on me this morning, gave us life, God, to get our lives together, Lord. To kiss the whole state and praise you, God. Yes, we lift you up, Lord. I ask, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, that we do the earth around and look at our lives. We go to most state, God, and begin to ask you how the most kind of the most state to come in to clean us up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning, God, the things you do for us that you don't have to do, but you just do it because you love and mercy and kindness, Lord. We just thank you this morning, God. I praise you this morning, God, with everything I have been in the most in me, God. So I thank you, hallelujah. I thank you for what you have done for me in my life. I thank how you have taken care of me. I don't know about nobody else out there, but I say today, Lord, I thank you for your shield of protection. I thank you for being a mind regulator for me, God. I pray, God, that you be a mind regulator for everybody, God. Oh, God, let them just say, look about how good you have been to them. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, even when they were over 6 days. I know somebody been over 6 days with God, with the doctor. In the name of Jesus, say a little more. I know this combo chapter that you was in the operating room, God was trying to move my prayer. I know somebody right there, when you put food on the table, when you didn't have nothing to put up. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that nobody else don't thank you, Lord. Let me thank you. I praise your holy name this morning, God, because you woke me up this morning. You didn't have to do it, God. I could have been gone, but still, instead, you gave me another opportunity. And all the most executed right with you to come clean with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, create in us our clean heart and renew the right spirit within us, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the most God, if we have anything against anybody, Lord, let the God in us, the most say, the God in us, and let it go. Forgive people, how do the most say, forgive today, Lord. Forgive today, people. Don't have hatred in your heart against nobody. Just love, because God is the Lord. He is the Lord. We have so many other things that we do that got rid of us. And that is all we do. We thank you this morning, God. We glorify your name because your word is praise, God. So, God, we thank you this morning. We lift the mouth this morning, God. We ask that you turn kind of most precious, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. Because all of us, you let them begin to praise your Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we need you today, God. We can't do without you. That's all of us, we can't even turn without you. We can't breathe without you, Jesus. I pray that God, somebody out there, Just take a good look. Turn around. Take a good look. This morning. Look around. And on the boat, it was Jesus that kept you. It was a man. It was a woman. But it was Jesus. Hallelujah this morning. Oh, God, how I praise. Because I know your words are to be praised. God. And on the boat, God, you just want us to get it together. Get it right. God, on the boat, get it right. Yes, Lord. Get it right. And go about shutting it in. Say, get it right. In the mighty name of God, oh, come to the most shake. Oh, God, let us see. Come to the most shake. How the things that we do is not of you, God. In the come to the most shake. Say, yes. Yeah, come to the most shake. Oh, he wants us to just to do it. Just say, yes. I know the most. Say, yes to the Lord. Say, yes to the Lord this morning, sometimes. Say, yes to the Lord. Give your life to Christ. And come to the most shake. For it be too late. Give it to him. Hey, call him, oh, call him. When he called, don't ignore. When he called, don't turn a deaf ear. I know the most shake this morning. Oh, God, I thank you for the shaking. I thank you for the shake of the most. Sunday, I thank God. I want to be right with you, God. I want to come to the most shake with you, God. And no matter the name that you said, nobody else don't have a most come to the most shake. I do have a most come to the most shake. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Oh, God, these things I ask you this morning, Lord, come to the most shake. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Mother Jackson say, just say yes. In her prayer, she said, just say yes this morning. Just say yes. And I agree with you, Mother Jackson. We have to just say yes to the Lord. You have to say yes to the Lord. And I see you listen to what Apostle said yesterday about the shaking. And you know, that was just, it was a powerful statement. A lot of people look for pastors to get up and hoop and holler about things. But sometimes you just have to sit and listen to the word that's coming out of a person's mouth. And listen to them and identify them to see if that's, I mean, if it fits you. And if it fits you, what do you have to do? Yeah. You have to say yes. You have to say yes. You have to identify. Hallelujah. You have to say yes. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You have to say yes.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody, again. I thank you this morning, Mother Jackson, for making a conscious decision to say yes. This morning, I want to remind everybody that God will go with you. God goes with you. He goes with you in situations even before you have gotten there. God, that's who God is. God is the regulator. He is the master planner. He is. In Deuteronomy 36, Moses told the Israelites to be strong, courageous, and firm. And do you know, I want to ask everybody, do you know what the word firm means? It means to stick to what you know right without letting anything or anyone talk you out of it. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens is that we know something is right, we know something is wrong, but our family members, whoever it may be, may come and try to tell you that it's something different. But Moses also told Joshua that he was to be strong, courageous, and firm because he was to lead the people into the land that the Lord had given them. He assured that the Lord would never fail him or forsake him and that God would go with him to lead them into victory. And God makes that same promise to me and you today. And the reason I'm speaking about this just today because the leader that I serve up under is a firm leader. And some people can't deal with the firmness, but not really knowing that firmness is that comes from the Lord. That comes from that firmness is what's going to get you from A to Z. That firmness is what's going to keep you out of that water from drowning. That firmness is going to help you walk through that fire just as the Hebrew boys did, knowing that God was right there with him. And a lot of times we ignore that, or a lot of times we get upset about it. But I thank God on today for firmness. I thank God on today for boldness. I thank God on today for courageousness. I thank God that he has placed people in our lives. And even if you are, even if you are in Nigeria, you're in Kenya, you are in Canada, you're in Fiji, you're in Jamaica, South Africa, United Kingdom, New York, North Carolina, wherever you are, you are still under that you're under the direction of someone that's being firm. And this is why you're getting the teachings that you're getting. And this is why you need to understand, because God says, don't be afraid. He is with you. And he put a strong, firm leader. Moses was strong and firm, but Moses got to the place where he just got so aggravated with the people doing this and doing that, that he took his eye off of what God had told him to do. He got so aggravated, and that caused him to not to be able to go over and lead the people into the promised land. And see, this is why it's so important for you to be in a place of, for you to be on a solid foundation and be in a place where you have no apologies for the way that you are being, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. Because it is something I can't fathom. It is something to be have to take the people to where God wants them to be. And this is where pastors, that's where they're at. They're at a place where they are, those pastors that pastor in the house, they're at a place where they have to take the person to where God wants them to be. They're at a place where they need to assure the people that God is with them. And how are they assuring the people? Because they're letting them, God has already went before me, you, and everybody else. But the leaders that he puts, that he builds up, he is pouring the strength into them. He's pouring the faith into them. He's pouring the love into them. He's pouring the confidence into them. He's pouring the firmness, the discipline, the obedience, the faith, the commitment, the dedication, the loyalty, everything, the compassion, everything that's possibly needed to a place where we recognize it. And that's why so many people fall off, because they don't recognize what God has placed in their life. They don't recognize the people that God has placed in their life. They don't understand that you don't have to be afraid, that you can continue to move on. And I know that's the place where I'm working into. I'm working into a place right now because, see, we so used to depending on ourselves, depending on our mental, depending on this, that, and another. But we have to identify what God, where God is and what he is doing in our lives, who he's placed us up under or around or in the circle or whatever it may be to be dependent on. And some people have just had to be so independent in their life and making all types of decisions that it's hard to come into a place of dependency. But this is where God wants us. God is will provide our every need. All we need to do is sit back and don't be afraid. All we need to do is be courageous. All we have to do is pay attention to the movement and the people that God has placed in your life, and pay attention to their movement. Pay attention to their actions. Pay attention to what's coming out of their mouth. Not just pay attention to what's coming out of their mouth, but what's coming out of their mouth, is it equating with their actions? And this is where you and I need to be, because we shouldn't have to worry about the minor things, not even the major things. Because when we get to a place and we realize that that same promise that God gave Moses, the same promise that he gave Joshua when the changing of the guard took place, it's the same promise that you and I have today.
We just need to learn to be courageous. We have to learn to stand firm in your faith, stand firm into a place. And knowing that you may going to enter into places and different things that you've never been before. But you must know that God has already went there. And if God will shut doors if that's not meant to be. But you have to stand firm. I have to stand firm into a place where we have to trust those that he has put before us. People don't like to be Indians, everybody want to be the chief. And when you want to become the chief, you start stepping into areas that you have no type of understanding, no type of knowledge, no type of wisdom, no type of anything. And therefore, it becomes a problem. But that's not how God has designed things. If God did not mean for us to have leaders over us, then he wouldn't have them. Everything would be a whole different way. But God designed his creation for us to have. He eventually, things did not go one way. So he had to put kings and judges and different things into place to make decisions. He had to put leaders in a place to make decisions, put leaders in a place that he would talk to these leaders. He would give them instructions. Even if he didn't verbally himself give them instructions, he would send an apostle. A word would come. A prophet. A word would come. But you and I have to be into a place where we realize and recognize where our leader is. We have to realize and recognize, like Apostle Temple always sit and say, you need to see what they're bringing to the table. You need to sit and see if they're depending on this or depending on that in order to get to the next phase. Or are they just bootlegging everything? I sit and say on today, before I bring Minister Chiquita on the phone, I am thankful. I am grateful for the leaders. Under the leadership that I am under today, because I know somewhere down the line, God had to talk to my leader and let him know, listen, I'm going to give you a flock. I may give you several flocks. And right now his flock is all over the nation. Each and every person that's on this phone and you're constantly on this phone and you're listening, you're receiving, you're believing, you're learning. You may be from Africa. You may be from the United Kingdom. That's different nations. So right now that places him in a place of being the father of nations. So that makes even the assignment even harder. It makes the assignment even harder because you can't even see the people that you're talking to. You just have to make sure that you stand in the spirit and see them in the spirit realm so you know what is needed and what's not needed. But where I'm going with this is that God chooses his leaders. And when God chooses his leaders, he gives them, he equips them for whatever needs to be done. He equips them. As long as they are paying attention, they're going to be successful. As long as they are set on a foundation, they're going to be successful. As long as they are listening to God, they're going to be successful in getting their flock from one place to the next. And in that time, that leader has to be firm. That leader has to possess courage. That leader has to be bold. That leader cannot fold under pressure. That leader cannot be in a place where he's allowing the people up under him to dictate him. That leader cannot be up in the presence of the Lord and come down and his people are serving another God. That leader is in a place where that he is telling you, or he or she is telling you things that is truthful. He's coming from a place of spirit and truth. And once you identify who who that person is, then that's when you have to place your feet. It's something you got to do too. You have to put your confidence there. You have to put your trust there. You have to be courageous and sit back and say, okay, well, I had to sit back and sit and say, well, you know what? God chose this person. So if God chose the person, because I'm going to tell y'all something, saints, I'm going to go a little bit wayward here. Some people are put their own selves in situations. But when you know that God has put a person in a situation, and how do you know that? Because that person is coming. I'm going to tell you how I know. That person coming in spirit and truth. That person is telling you the truth and is going off of what he knows to be the right thing, but not what just what man is saying. Not dealing with what all the mega churches and all the other preachers are saying, but you're saying what thus said the Lord. Not sitting and changing different things around because you want to keep 1,000+ members in your church, but you want to make sure that you are saving people, that you are bringing people into a place of salvation, which is needed. Making sure that you are speaking the truth. And this is why we as a people don't have to be afraid. We as a people don't have to second guess. We as a people can lay down in the green pastures and allow the leader to lead us to the next place. And it is so important. It's something when the Holy Spirit just gives you an awakening. You can sit and read over scriptures day in and day out. And like Apostle Temple says, sometimes you can come to something and it may be for you. But I know it is for me, but it's for others too. Because we get into a place, we have a spirit of fear all the time. We have a spirit of not knowing what this is going to take place. We have these different things going on. But you, if you're under a church, a leader, that you can sit back and know by their actions that you're going to get to the next place. It's no need for you to be in a place where you're stumbling. It's no need for you to be into a place where you're grumbling. It's no need, because what you need to know is that God is with that person, and God has already went before that person, and he's already straightened the crooked path. And I'm not sitting and telling you today that people are not going to go through something, because my leader has been through a lot of things. It's how that person went through it and what did they do when they came out of it. Did the person start cussing you out? Did the person start telling you this or doing that? Or did the person stay in a humble state? Did the person continue, if you was hungry, feed you? Did the person, if you were wrong, did that person correct you? And you may have not wanted to take the correction. Or did the person just turn the other cheek and allow you to continue to do the things that you do? Moses said something to the people when they was making up that those gold, the gold had been turned their gold into a god. He said something to the people. Moses said something to the people when they were doing things that they weren't supposed to. Only thing is, Moses got tired. Moses got to the place where he just allowed them to defeat him, to overthrow him, to take him out of his rightful position with God, to take his assignment away from him. Because he didn't know how to get into a place where he went before the Lord and might ask for him to guide him and to rearrange some different things, because God had already went where he needed to go. And it is so important for you to get under a leadership of structure. Get up under a leadership of firmness. Somebody that's going to tell you the truth. Somebody that's going to make sure that you know exactly where they're coming from and you don't have to second guess it. And if you get to the point where you have to second guess it, they don't have a problem to sit and tell you, I'm sorry, it's my way or no way, because my way is coming from the Lord. I don't know where your way is coming from, but I don't deal with witchcraftery. I don't deal with all of these other things. I'm going to deal with this because God has already dealt with me. God has dealt with me and placed me in a position that I've been placed. And a lot of people get into positions and they're not supposed to be there. I'm going to say that again. A lot of people get into positions prematurely. A lot of people get into position because they just want a title. A lot of people get into a position because it might be a financial gain for them. A lot of people may get into a position because they just want to be known. They want to be known but not do what is right. It is important, people, for you to get up under a leader that is going to show you exactly and not be afraid. And not be afraid because they recognize who God is in their life. They recognize where God is going to take them. They recognize, that's why having that having a vision board or having different things that your vision or the visions that God has given you, that it is plain and that is clear. It's already set in stone for you. All you need to do is be obedient, stay in a place of discipline, stay on the right path, but most of all, stay in his will and know that he will take you through and live a life of holiness without having to always explain why you live in the way that you live, why you doing the things that you do. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you live the way that you do? Because you are glorifying the Lord through your actions. You are fulfilling your purpose, and your purpose is for God to be glorified. So there's no reason to explain this. There's no reason to explain that. All you need to do is do it. And if your leader that you are serving on Sundays or whenever that you're serving them, and they cannot show you what they're doing, or their actions are not lining up, or when you in your wrongness, they're not correcting you and allowing you to continue to sin, then you're under the wrong leadership. You're under the wrong leadership. You need to be into a place where everything is identified. Everything is identified. So everybody can be on the same accord. Because as I spoke a couple of weeks ago, if you are in rank, if you are a soldier in the army and you are in rank, if one person come out of rank, then it messes everything up. It's like a domino effect. And if one person come out of rank, the perfection is now imperfected. And that's why it's so important for you to understand who you are dealing with, who you are under the leadership with, who. And because you see everybody else or other churches doing different things, God may not tell your leader that this is what you're supposed to do. Your leader must be able to hear from God. Your leader must be, I'm going to say it again, must be able to hear from God. And if your leader is not doing that, then you need to open your eyes and you need to pay attention. Good morning, Minister Chiquita. What do you have to add?
Good morning, Evangelist. Good morning, Saints. The simplest thing can keep us from being in the promised land or getting to the promised land or continuing to be in the presence of the Lord is disobedience. And that's what happened to Moses. Moses simply got so frustrated that he did not simply take the instructions that the Lord had gave him out clearly, one by one. When he saw, he got so frustrated and he lost the order of what God told him to do. See, saints, we cannot get into a space in our life to where we cannot accept order and correction and instructions. And that's what happens when you get under a good leadership. You go through a self-correction in yourself of things that's not of God. You have to remove those things up out of you. And it's in times where you may feel as though some people feel as though that you're being picked on, or they looking at you under a microscope. It feels that way because God wants you to look at yourself that way. He wants you to look into yourself and notice the things that's happening in your life. He wants you to notice the things that's got you to this point but won't get you any further. He wants you to remove the fears and different things that that you have that you have that's blocking your blessings. But you have to understand. You have to be in a receiving place to get under a leadership. You have to be understand that there are things that's going to come in place, things that you're going to have to go through, and you're going to have to be taught that you're going to have to shave some of those things off of you for you to accept. A great leader will not let you walk in the wrong. They will apostle ourselves, and I was told this once before that I was a cheerleader for them. And I told them this, I will be a cheerleader for a man and woman of God that I see the true manifestations that's in their life. These two people that I see that God is working in their life through and through all the way around them, everything around them has to stand in order and correction, and it doesn't go any other way but that. And they go before God before everything. And I see the manifestation in their life. Now, this is me coming from a place where I've studied other religions. I'm not blocking or talking bad about nobody's religion, but that stuff didn't work for me. So I tried God. I tried God, and when I came into ADM, it showed me the trueness of God. It showed me the realness of God. It showed me the what they call it, the good, the bad, and the ugliness of me that had to be removed so I can get the goodness of God. And we have to get into a place, saints, to where we are in life. We want to be so close to God that everything that we're doing, we want to put it under a supplication of making sure we're doing it right. We want to make sure we're under a leadership so we can be guided right. You don't want to be under a false leadership that'll lead you down the wrong path, because you don't want your life to be stagnated. You don't want to, tomorrow's not promised. You don't want to be off the wall when something happens, when you continue to stay on the wall with someone's righteously filling your life with the true things that God can do for you if you stand tall, if you build your faith, if you stand firm and you stand strong. Standing firm, stand in the presence of God. Just that simple. It ain't that hard. Standing firm, stand in the presence of God at all times, knowing God is the one that went, like Evangelist has stated so elegantly, he has went before us and solved all problems. He knows what obstacle you want to go through. So you have to have that same boldness of God. If you don't have it, ask him to pour it into you every time you need it until you understand it. When you're ready to walk forth, it's just going to automatically take over you. The fears of man blocks them from the blessings of God. Frustrations and different things that's not of God will become a block and blessing, stumbling block for you. It will also heed you from not taking your order and construction and order and teachings from your teacher, because you're always going to be in a place where you feel like you're being is personal. It's never personal. Your life with God is personal with God, but it's never personal with a teacher. It's never personal with them. It's personal with their salvation because they're going through their own walk. They're making sure they're getting it right with God. But with you, it's personal with you. You have to get yourself together with God. No one else is going to do it for you. They can teach you. They can show you the way. But until you lay yourself down and remove yourself and get under a good leadership and understand and do your teaching and do your prayers and stand in the presence of God, no matter what goes on in your life, you're going to go through things. But the minute that goes through and that fear seeps in, you counteract it with God. You counteract it with a prayer. You counteract it with a song in your spirit. You counteract it with joy when pain trying to seep in. You do not allow the things that God is bringing into your life, that teachers are teaching you in your life. You don't allow you. Because we're the biggest thing. We're blaming on other people. We just got to take accountability. It's us. It's us that's doing the things that allow us to not make it into the promised land. Back to you, Evangelist.
And one thing she said, something that gave me a reminder, she talked about prayer. And in our church, when we are actually in the physical church, there's intercessors. And those intercessors are the ministers are to get up before the service even starts to pray, to make sure that there is nothing, that the atmosphere is ready. The atmosphere is the spirit filled. That all different things that could even come in and disrupt whatever God has set forth, whatever God has already placed into the man, the woman who's bringing the word, that it does not get corrupted, that it does not get misconstrued, that the understanding is going to be delivered just as God has for it to say, that the word is coming with a meaning and it's coming from truth and spirit. And that's what a good leader is going to let you know, that I need, even though God has went before me, but I need to make sure that the word that God has given me, I can give it to the people, because it is my job to give it to them. It is my assignment to give it to them, but I need you to be obedient and do this and do that and set it up how it's supposed to be, because I don't need any distractions. I have to do exactly what I need to do. I shouldn't have to come down out of where God has me to come into a place to try to bring the spirit in. It should, when I get there, it should be already where God wants it to be. And that's true leadership. That's somebody sitting and saying, okay, I already know that the Lord has went here, and I already know we on holy ground, but this is what I need to do. This is what I want to make sure that's taking place. And that prayer is necessary. Making sure as well that people are going to be focused, because see, when you realize that God has already went before you, you don't have time to waste. And we are in a place right now, we don't have time to waste. We have to get it right. We have to keep moving on. It's no time to keep going back to the point. The Israelites, they walked around the same mountain year after year after year, because they refused to get it right. It wasn't that they couldn't get it right. They refused to get it right. They was in a place of rebellion. And I would have to go back and read the story. I don't know how many times Moses might have had to correct them. I don't even know if he corrected them enough or he just allowed them to defeat them. But when you make a conscious decision that you know that the Lord has already went before you, defeat is not an issue. We see that all throughout the Bible. We can go back to Jehoshaphat. Look at David. David killed the lion. Killed the lion. In so many places. Look at the Hebrew boys. They went into the fire. They went up. They didn't sit and go into a place of rebellion and sit and say no and start fighting all of the soldiers that was around them. They went into the fire. They went into the fire with a attitude of confidence. They went into the fire with a boldness. They went into a fire with courageousness, because they realized what that God was with them. They realized that no matter what the situation was, that they were going to come out, whether it was through death or whether it was through what they went through in the fire. When in the fire, came out, did not have an odor of fire, was not burnt, was not anything, because they knew that God was with them. And this is where you need to understand, you need to open your eyes, and you need to ask yourself, is my leader, the leader that I'm sitting up under, is that what that leader will do? See, I can sit and attest to it. I can attest to it. But that's what you need to know. That's exactly what you need to know. Can you go into the fire? Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How you doing? God bless all of you. God bless you all, saints and friends, and God bless everyone. Amen. It's an awesome topic that we're talking on, but it's, I just want to help to shed some enlightenment in the topic of this topic as well. I just want to let you know, the Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It talks about when the Holy Ghost come upon you, and also it talks about diversity. Different ways, diversity, different style, amen, but it all has the same goal, amen. In ministry, it's different styles. There's different type of styles. There's different ways of going, approach and going and doing different things, but it's always one goal, amen. It's different styles of how individuals, and we begin to pursue healing, but healing is the goal. It's different styles and different ways how we begin to pursue deliverance, but deliverance is the goal. It's different styles and different ways how we pursue prosperity or finances or different things in our life, amen, how to get it together, make it straight. But that is the goal, amen. So it's different styles in ministry. It's the different things in ministry. You know, ADM is a prophetic ministry. We're very prophetic. I've been prophetic pretty much all my life, amen, when I didn't understand about prophetic or apostolic. I have a clue about it as a young child, I'm talking about 9, 10, 11 years old, seeing things, discerning gifts and all this stuff in the spirit realm that I didn't have a clue. Mother didn't even have a clue, amen, because we've been raised up Baptist. And a lot of times the Baptist denomination, they really don't dive too deep into it. Is there anything wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it at all, amen. That's just their type of religion, because at the end of the day, every style, our styles and different things that we do is for the works of ministry. It's for the works. And we got to understand, and people all over the world, understand what part of the body you are in. The Bible puts as the church as a body. We are here in a body. Amen. I might be the head. Somebody else might be the arm. Somebody else might be the legs. Amen. I understand apostolic ministry could be a little too much for someone. Amen. Because, sometimes it could look like we out there. It can look like you're out there big time, and it might be a little too much. So you might need to go over there to the arms, amen, where everything is toned down a lot, and you can begin to receive your relationship. But every part of the body, it makes up one body. It makes up the body of what? Body of Christ, amen. So we got to understand that. It's the body of Christ, amen. And it doesn't matter, even your leader, your pastor, it doesn't matter what level of teaching that they're on. Amen. They could be teaching, it's like a school system in the body of Christ. Not everybody could teach on a college level. Because why? Not all the saints are ready for a college level. Amen. But when the saints begin, and we as leaders, we have to understand that when they begin to grow and they begin to develop, it's nothing wrong for them to going out to venture out with godly leaders, that you can examine, you can approve of, and they could take on more knowledge. They could take on, get more educated. Amen? And some leaders do understand. They probably just don't display it in their local church because they have to teach and they have to be on or operate on the level that God called them on. Because in ministry and pastoral and apostolic and also apostleship, it's different levels that God have us to govern on. Amen? It's different levels. A lot of times, I could teach, certain leaders and certain ministers and certain groups, I could teach on a professor level, a theology level. But, then certain times in my congregation, I have to teach on a different level because I have different, we have different individuals with different learning ability. It could go over their head. So I want you to begin to discern your ministry, according to what scriptures declare and what scripture said, said. Your pastor might not be a fireball preacher. God might have him as a very, or her as a very structured teacher. Amen. A very structured teacher, but you need something. But that's not something to don't disconnect from your leadership, amen. Because at the end of the day, we all one body, and you belong in the kingdom. Because you probably come over here and get fireball preaching, but But over here, it can get broken down to A to Z, you know, and where you can really receive. I'm not saying eat off everybody's table, go to different places and different things like that. But you have to begin to gravitate to what is needed. And the main thing to tap into is tap into the spirit of the Lord, because the Lord knows what you need better than you. You might think you need one thing, but God said, no, you really need a this. Amen? And we have to, and we really need to understand. And that's just who we are, and we're just very prophetic, amen? And I'm just a very prophetic leader, you know, in the prophetic, you know, it's not a program. You know, it's by the leading of the Holy Ghost. It's by the leading of the Lord, and that's I'm a firm believer. You know, if we say God lead us, the Holy Spirit have his way, well, let him have his way. And the best way to do it is clean up the atmosphere through prayer, through intercession, amen, through seeking him, amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, then everything else will be added. So you get in, you know, begin to get into a place where everyone comes together through intercession. When two or more touching and agree, I am in the midst, as Scripture declares, amen. Another thing pertaining to leadership, especially when you discern, and especially when discerning these leaders, amen, and discerning what place you're going to sit up under. Listen, they got to have something to give to you. And I'm just not talking about an educational degree. You can go and get that yourself, amen. All you got to do is just get some discipline and buckle yourself down and begin to do your own study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, amen. Study to do what? Show yourself approved. That's what Scripture declares. Amen. And we don't got the body of Christ, the church done got so caught up into a gift of gab. The gift of gab. You know, people don't perfected the art, don't went to school, how to be motivated speaker, how to deliver, amen, how to do different things. Even in some school pertaining to ministry and preaching and different things, they help you to work on your delivery, help you work on your content, help you to work on how to engage the people, how to get the people engaged, get them into the message, take them on a story and journey, amen? And we get locked into the gift of gab, amen? The gift of gab is what so many people don't got locked into. Then once you find out the things that individuals saying is not so true, now you devastated. You devastated like, oh, it's all a lie, it's all a lie. No. You devastated. No, you got caught up into a gift of gab. The leader has to have something to give to the people. You know, yeah, we have the word of God. Yeah, we have. A matter of fact, we don't even have the spirit to give to you. You have to receive the spirit yourself. You know, that's why we lead you to the Christ, because it's not something that we can give to you. You have to accept salvation yourself. Our salvation has to be stepping on willing. So we don't even have that to give to you. I'm sorry. The gospel, we don't even have the gospel to give to you. That's something that the Father is already given. When he said in it, he spoke it in a word, go to and forth on earth and spread the good news of the gospel. Amen. So the gospel, the leaders don't even have that to say, well, I want to give you. No, it's your job to do so. Amen. The Bible already speaks of, you know, his word is going to go through to and forth throughout this earth. Amen. So we don't even have the spirit thing to give you. Amen. We can really enlighten you, awaken you, and teach you according to the book of Ephesians when it deals with the fivefold ministry as God set up and structured leadership and their order and how it's supposed to be. So we could teach, amen. We could teach. We could govern. We could help hold you accountable, amen. We could do them type of things. Now, Moses had something to give to the children of Israel. He had something before he came. I'm telling you, he had something before he came. What he had? Well, when he went into the in the desert, the fire bush, and God told him to pick up that stick turned into his rod. God gave him substance, and everything he needed was in his what? In his hand. He didn't come with a gift of gab. He didn't come just talking nonsense. He didn't come hoping. He didn't come, well, what I believe or what I think or what I feel you should do. He came with a knowing. Even though he didn't know how the journey is going to end, but he came with something to lead individuals through what? Through the journey. And this is the thing that people have to, number one, examine your life. Amen? Examine where you're going in life. Where you going? Pastor here, I might be a little too much for you, amen, because you probably be settled, you probably be good, you probably be, you know, fine where you at. I'm constantly moving. I have a ministry that we constantly pushing the people, don't settle for where you at.
and you might be settling for where you're at. So this might be a little too much for, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? But we have to go to make sure we, listen, you got to leave bootleggers alone. It's so many people and it's so many folks that got so hooked up on bootleggers, and bootleggers begin to certify their own self because why? Ain't no one stopping bootleggers and telling you you need to stop. Amen? And when you start holding folks accountable, amen, and start holding people accountable regardless of who they are, because it's your soul and salvation. People, you got to understand that. That's your soul and salvation. But make sure you're right in the eyes of God. Sometimes, you know, you need to sit for a little bit when you start looking at things sideways and make sure you got the complete understanding, because you can have misunderstanding and it can lead you into the wrong understanding, but you thinking it's the right understanding. Y'all hear me? But it's misunderstanding. Folks got to have something to give. How can a pastor could tell me how to be blessed, but you are blessed off of my money, what I sold to you? I'm going to get out of this. I know this might be getting a little too deep, probably start getting a little too deep for some of you. Amen? How can you? This is the truth. You should have something, my God, to bring, or you should have something to show me. Oh, I'm blessed. How can you? How are you blessed if it wasn't for me here, or it wasn't for the people there to contribute to what they contribute to your life? Would your life be where it's at now? Would everything stop? Would all your bills stop? Will you have to foreclose your church, your doors? Can you keep the bills paid? This pandemic don't pull a lot off of different things. Amen? So we got to make sure that at the end, and that's how you sow, amen? You begin to sow. You don't sow into a bill. It gets me. I walk out of churches now when folks say, well, if you don't pay, if you don't sow into this, how in the world, how God lights going to be on? First of all, you went down there and turned them lights on yourself. God didn't. Amen. You signed the paperwork yourself. God didn't do that. You choose to take on that responsibility. And that responsibility doesn't get passed on to the people. The people is trying to handle their own responsibility and learn how to take care of their own financial need. And we don't settle the church taking the body, taking the burdens off of the people of God like we should do as leader and turn them over to the Lord. We putting the burdens on the people because we don't have nothing, my God, in our own life to sustain us to get. Y'all hear me? Amen. That's why so many folks, my God, you know, people have problems with Pastor because I'm unfiltered. Because why? I'm not worrying about your money. Amen. God done had pastors shot up, and we still shot up, amen, before ministry started. Amen. I'm concerned about your what? Soul and salvation. Amen. That's your soul and salvation we're concerned about. So we have to understand when we begin to look at this. I know it's tight. But at the end of the day, you cannot give me something that you don't have. How can you give me something that you don't possess, you don't have? And this is the thing that we don't got caught up. People don't got caught up. And now they begin to look at the body of Christ sideways because you didn't do your own proper inspections. Amen? You didn't do your own proper, oh, I just don't like this church. They just did. Well, maybe they are not dead. Maybe this ain't the church to help you to stay grounded. Amen? It's not nothing wrong with the church. It might be something wrong with the place you at because you need something stronger to keep you grounded. Certain personality needs to be in a strong, up-in-your-face ministry because why? It will help them to stay saved, stay grounded. Then certain other people, they don't need all that. They'll get offended. They don't need all that. Amen? They probably could sit somewhere. And leaders, you have to respect that. Now, everybody comes to your church is somebody you supposed to shepherd, is somebody that you supposed to have in your ministry. We got to stop looking at trying to have these explosive numbers and not saying that it ain't going to come because it's souls. You can't stop the souls from coming, but we have to accept the fact that I don't supposed to pastor everybody in the world. Because God got people in all different types of styles, different types of ministry, different types of delivery all over the world that it can equip people. Amen? I got colleagues that I send some people's, I send some individual. I say, listen, our ministry might be too much for you, but go over there and see my brother in Christ. I think that's be more low-key, more ministry for you. Amen? Amen. Some people like they program. They like that, you know, they like that everybody please rise, please pronounce the scripture, please stand, please sit down. You know, everyone, you're going to have a song. They know how the service is going to go. You come over here with Pastor, I can't tell you how the service is going to go. All I know, we're going to intercede, get in the Holy Ghost, and we're going to move by His script. That's how I've been doing it ever since a little child, amen? That's all I know. But is there something wrong for someone say, you know what, there's a little too much? No, it's not nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're in a place like that, just go and talk to your pastor. And if your pastor is mature enough, they'll say, oh, you know what, I understand. I got some colleagues. I got a brother over here. I got a sister over here. Amen. That you probably be good. It be a good fit right there that way because it's their soul, church. It's the people that getting rooted, getting grounded. Amen. God then made you a single person out here doing the work, and you the one. So what, we know it's wolves out there. The Bible speaks of it. Amen. We know it's counterfeits out there. The Bible speaks of it. Amen. But don't let yourself be a wolf. And don't let yourself be a counterfeit how you move and how you operate. Y'all hear me? Amen? So we got to understand, it's different parts of the body. It's different parts of the body. It's different levels of education. Not every pastor is on a professional college or a professional level. Not everyone. But do that minimize them as a leader? No, that do not. They got to operate because at the end of the day, to get the first grade, you got to pass through kindergarten, even though the kindergarten teacher probably have a college, has a college degree or college education, but that kindergarten teacher is teaching kindergarten right now. To get the second grade, you got to pass first. To get the third grade, you got to pass second. To get the fourth grade, you got to pass fifth. Amen? My God, to get a fifth grade, you got to pass four. And each one of them grades has a teacher that teach on them level. I'm not saying that you need to go and get everybody. You need to go. Now you might have a pastor or leader that could teach on all them levels. You know, you're great. You know, awesome that you have that type of leadership that could teach you on kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, then take you into an advanced and teach yourself. Great. But some ministers, you know, people are not there yet. You know, they're not there. And at the end of the day, it doesn't minimize them. It doesn't minimize your church. It doesn't minimize your pastor. It doesn't minimize your leadership. You know, I love Bishop. Bishop began to venture out and began to bring people to people that I want to sit up under him and connect with him and begin to bring people at teaching that he have not mastered yet. And he ain't afraid to show it. He don't want many people up to sit up on the ADM for a season to learn his spiritual warfare. Amen. And it's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't minimize you as a leader, doesn't minimize you as a servant, doesn't minimize you as a pastor. Because not all resources I might have in my possession or in my back pocket, but I know where to get, my God, the resources or to get what you need to continue to help you to grow and to help you to be developed. And when you get there, amen, some of you, you know, God probably got you in the area, but God needs you to work. Some of you need to get up off the seat and begin to go to work. You done gained to a certain level, and now what you have in you, long as you are submitted, you are humble, you can help out your local leader. You can help out your local pastor. Other than just sitting down and approve, well, ain't right, child. I don't want to see your dictator. See, when you become a dictator, you can't help anyway. Amen. Things finna get ready to clash because now is what you don't think is right. First of all, a leader is visionary, is leading by the movement of God. Moses had to follow God regardless of what the people thought. He taking them out there to die. The people thought that they finna get ready to starve to death. They finna get ready to die. The heat finna have heat stroke and all that kind of stuff there. Amen? Because why? Not everything that God is going to show the people along the journey, he's definitely, you're going to see manifestations on the journey. Amen? But that leader is the number one place of that house. It's something when all you rebellious saints think y'all know it all and try to go into another person's house and try to tell them what to do and try to tell them how to do it where you can't even keep your own front door clean. You know, it's something with that stuff. sit down, hush your mouth, and learn something. Maybe God could bless your life. That's why I say people don't have to come and tell pastor nothing. I tell them, no, I know. Listen, I already know folks ain't growing. I already know they're catching it. I already know it ain't going to be successful. Why? Because it's not done according to Scripture, and it's not done correctly. God is not going to bless it. Bottom line, end of discussion. Amen? So let's begin to look at leadership as if the fivefold ministry as God order. They there to help you physically and naturally. They help you in your life. And I'm using the word help because they are not there to control your life. They're not there. And they can only take you as far as they done went. And after that, like Jesus said, amen, you shall do greater work than I. Because he took them farther. He could have took them far, but took them far as time on this earth allowed him to do. Amen? They can only take you as far as God allowed them to do. As Moses. Moses couldn't do nothing. He took them far as God allowed them to do. Then he had to pass the baton. Pastors, school pastor, learn when to pass the baton. It's not minimizing you. Learn when to pass. Wow, man, I'm going to get off this. Learn when to pass the baton. Amen? And that way, on your leadership and on your leadership, you can begin to develop and help that next Joshua. Amen? To be a strong leader. But when you don't pass the baton, when you should have passed the baton, now God don't call you on, called you home. They got to try to figure out how to lead themselves. They got to try to fill out different method where you could have been helping them. In the leadership, I love one of my mentors, Bishop Paul S. Morton. I love what he done with his church here in Georgia. Amen. He retired from pastoring, but he didn't retire from ministry. He passed, and you probably think he's still pastoring. No, he passed the baton, and he grooming other pastors to do what? Pastor, and he passed that baton. Amen. So we got to understand, there's so much to this. Pastor's going to get ready to get out of this here. But when you're in your local church, please examine your local church. Amen. You look in the leader. You look into a leader. Number one is, you know, first of all, you need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Second of all, you sit and examine. Many people go there, that's my church. That's my church. Hush up. Just sit down. You know, people come to ADM. I just tell them, listen, learn your pastor. Sit down for a minute. Examine. You need to examine. And what are you examining? You examine, first of all, do they have what it takes, or do they have the actual anointing? I'm talking about not only spiritual but natural too, to take me where I'm going in life. And where you're going in life is where the vision that you don't wrote down. It's the direction God is taking you. Do they have what it takes, amen, other than a gift of gab, other than talking the talk, amen, or are they walking the walk? And if they walk in the walk, how they walk in the walk, amen? Is they walking the walk by the peoples around them, keeping them lifting up? Is they walking the walk because of the people's tithes and their offering? And as long as the tithes and offering coming in, they good? Or they walking the walk because, my God, when they tell you to do something, they got it going on in their own life. They already got it going on. In this pandemic, I think the beginning of last year, the Lord began to tell me to tell the people, say, this is the season to where entrepreneurship, your small business, this is where you need to get in at. You need to position yourself, amen, and get ready for the rain. He said you're going to make money where you're going to begin to take care of your overhead and take care of different things, but it's not going to be a flood of money coming in to where you're going. He said you first have to be positioned. Build it up. Be positioned. I don't went through and what Pastor did. I led by example. We opened up a restaurant. We opened up a restaurant here in Conyers, Georgia. Amen. God said it, I opened. You know, so we're not talking, you know, talk. And this is, I'm just using this example, not downplaying, no leaders, nobody. I'm out, stepping out. And now got a couple of individuals that is part of the ministry. We're showing them to step out, how to step out, how the vision began to manifest. So we took the old rundown area and turned it into something. And we took it through by four or five different makeups, facelifts, amen? Every level that we go higher, every level we change the face of it. Every level God take us higher, we change the face of it, amen? And we just getting finished the changing the face of it again, amen? So, and guess what? Every promise that God said, every word is said, you know, it's booming, it's flourishing, things coming in, things is happening, amen? Things is moving. Because why? At the end of the day, we have, listen, when you have something and you believe, see, people don't believe the things that they say out of their own mouth. They're just doing a good talk. When you believe what you say out of your mouth that is not of you, it's of God, this is the thing that gets me about people. Do you truly believe what's coming out of you, or you just doing it for a bunch of talk? You just got good talk going on, and you really don't even believe what's coming out of your own mouth. Amen? You don't even believe that's God coming out of your mouth. You don't believe that's the Holy Ghost. You just talking a good talk, and you just got a good talk game. Amen? So we got to understand something. It's a lot that we need to look and examine. Stop going with a crooked eye. Everybody crooked. Ain't everybody is not crooked. That means God is crooked himself, because that means he a liar, he crooked, because that's all he produced, crookedness and crooked leaders and crooked people. There's nothing, no one that God got is right here on earth. No, that's what you probably experience. And in my spirit and pastoring people, I'm not going to even say that's what you're experiencing. Some folks been on walked away mad because they couldn't get their way, and the leader had to rebuke them, and they begin to spread rumors as they crooked. So I don't even get into that kind of stuff, because I don't know what you done left from, and I don't know what done happened. At the end of the day, God got good, righteous people to help you, to move you through your life. But you have to do also some homework, as well as they need to do homework to make sure they are pastoring and leading them, the ministry and the people of God correctly. You got to do your homework to make sure that they have, you know, what you have. You know, you're an entrepreneur. How can an entrepreneur sit up under someone that never had an entrepreneur experience before and get guidance in that area? You know, you have to venture out. You probably get a good word for them, but you probably have to venture out in that area for somebody to help you in that area, because no one can give you something that they don't have. I don't fly planes. I cannot coach another flight attendant or somebody that is in school to be a pilot, and I'm trying to educate them how to fly a plane. First of all, I ain't too fond of heights in the first place, and I'm trying to teach y'all how to fly a plane and get up in the air. Now, how can I give you something I don't have? I'm bootlegging then. Amen? So we got to be able to discern that and be able to see that. Amen? I know I took up a lot of time, but I felt so many of you pulling, and so many of you, it was just good for you, and I just want to keep dropping down in it. Amen? Don't look at your local church as if your local church is not like the church across the street. Amen? You got to look at it. Every leader, God got them on different levels. Everyone, they have different operations that they do within their ministry, because they have a program. There is nothing wrong with their program, because at the end of the day, God is not coming back for a church with a program. They got a program, or they don't got a program, or with your theology or with your ideology feels though they don't let the Holy Ghost use them. They squinch the Holy Ghost and they do all this here. Amen. You got to understand the difference between Holy Ghost and emotions. Amen. Because something done moved inside of them. So we got a lot of people begin to make that assumption pertaining to what they know, and a lot of times it'd be all wrong. So don't get caught up into none of that. Sit up under your leader. If you dare, you know, some of you, God needs you to work. Amen. You need to help. And some of you, he is going to educate you and give you great education. That doesn't mean it's time for you to take over the church and begin to know. He needs to educate you to bring you into a place where you can help lead within that. And that one day probably pass the baton to you for you could continue the works of the ministry. Amen. Don't look at it as if I know more than my pastor. It ain't a prophet. I'm a prophet over here. I'm this over here. I'm that over here. No, the first thing in a great ministry is not about your gift. It's not about your tools. It's how well you can submit and you can work in leadership. How well you can work with individuals. How well you can begin to go along this journey. God ain't caring about how good, how much education you know and how much things you go. That's good for the journey. That's good for the assignment, but if you don't have no assignment to apply that, all you is an educated brother and an educated sister. That is it, and you don't have nothing else to do with that. Amen? So we got to understand there's a lot of falsehood to this, a lot of area to this. Amen? Hopefully I help you all, and clear a lot of things up, my God, for you all to make educated decisions. Or you go to when a lot of churches open up now, some of you might be on the fence, so you could really see and you could really get navigated by the Holy Ghost, and you could really get what you want from that ministry. Amen. Because a lot of people leave ministries because they ain't getting what they want. They have the void. Amen. And I want to tell you, pastor, something. Amen. One thing about ministry is not only spiritually, it's also naturally as well. The Bible say we live in the world, but we're not of the world. You got to also teach people how to live prosperous in the world that we are living in today. Amen. God is not coming down, amen, and taking and going to the light bill place. Maybe some of you get miracles like that. Amen. But it's not every day. Yeah, you ain't going to see it. You probably got a miracle once or twice. Amen. But it's not every month that you get a miracle that God is paying your bills. Not every month. Every month God is paying your cable. It's not every month He paying your mortgage. He paying your rent. You know, it's not every month that is happening. So let's stop the nonsense and begin to teach the people how to flourish and grow, not only spiritually, but also naturally. My God, evangelist, I'm back over to you. I'm out. You know, Pastor Noe took us some time, but it was a very, people was pulling. I just want to feed you all, amen, before the weekend. Amen. Until then, I'm going to turn it back over to evangelist. I love you all. All right.
Amen. Amen, Apostle. As always, we thank you for that knowledge, that wisdom, and you being a great leader. That's what's needed. I'm going to say it forever and ever and ever. We thank you all for joining us on today. It is Faithful Friday, Fantastic Friday. Whatever F you want to put in front of your Friday, just know that God is the creator of this day. So let it be fabulous. Let it be fantastic. Let it be futuristic. Whatever you want to say. Guess what? AVM loves you, but God loves you most. We will see you on Sunday morning. Sharing is caring. Bring somebody on with you. And we just thank you and have a great, fabulous weekend. In the name of Jesus. We love you. Peace out.
Name above our name.